Maybe hard to think about on a morning like this after the snowstorm that we had last night with the snow still on the ground and ice on some of the branches, but it is only about 6 weeks away that we will be celebrating Easter. We gathered in this space on that wonderful Sunday morning as we do each and every year, having a wonderful celebratory service with fantastic music, as we often do. A couple of hundred more people will be here who we'll see again at Christmas. And it will be a wonderful morning. Our kids will be so excited for the Easter egg hunt following. It'll be fantastic. Only 6 weeks away. Even before then, obviously, according to Phil, winter will be totally over, so we'll be good to go. But we do have 6 weeks to go, and in those 6 weeks, we will be walking through the liturgical season that we call Lent. It is a season that takes place between Ash Wednesday, which we just marked this last Wednesday, and it concludes on Easter Sunday, a 40-day journey, give or take, that for us mimics the 40 years that the Israelites wandered in the wilderness, the 40 days that Jesus also spent in the wilderness. This is our journey towards Easter. And so before we get there, we need to take, I think, very seriously this season of Lent and walk in it. As much as we're anticipating Easter Sunday morning, we need not rush there. I think we need to spend some time intentionally in this Lenten season with one another. And there are some great themes of Lent every year as we walk it together. There is the theme of journey and how this, again, mimics the journey that the Israelites took and how we are on a journey, not just for these 40 days, but that even is a larger, is an analogy for the journey that we're on in our spiritual life. There is the theme of reflection, of taking time maybe to reflect more than we often do on our life of faith, on God and God's will, on the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And there is maybe the most prominent theme of Lent, which is the theme of penance and repentance and sinfulness. And that is the theme I want to focus a bit on today with you. I want to talk a bit about sin. The story is told of our 30th president, Calvin Coolidge, and how he had gone to worship one Sunday morning, and upon returning home, his wife, Grace, asked him, "So what did the preacher preach on today?" And Coolidge said to his wife very briefly, "Sin." And his wife, wanting a little bit more than that, said, "Well, what did the preacher have to say about sin?" And Coolidge replied, "Well, he's against it." Well, I'm here to tell you I'm against it too, as a preacher. But though I might be against it, I think it is something that's important for us to talk about. Liz and I were texting yesterday first about whether or not we were going to be having the Gift movie event last night. We've decided we made the right call on not having it as that storm rolled in just as we would have been getting together. But then the conversation turned and Liz was asking for a little bit of advice about the children's sermon this morning, and in particular raising a concern that she had that maybe it wouldn't be well received to talk to the kids about sin during the children's moments this morning. And she asked me even to review the script that she was putting together. I said, "Well, I trust you." I said, "You know, I think it's important because that's part of our story. Sin is part of our story. And we owe it to our kids, maybe even especially, not to leave that part of the story out. They need and want to know about sin and what that is and means for us in our life." And even as I'm talking to you today about sin, I imagine that each of you might be coming into this conversation, into this listening session from a different perspective, especially now that you know that what the preacher wants to talk about is sin. Some of you might be rethinking your decision to come to worship this morning. You might be feeling like you may have been better off and with those others who decided not to come in today, maybe just watching the news, maybe not, or relaxing, reading a book. And that's because for you, maybe you've just gotten to the point where you've gotten over your own sin to some degree. Feel like you've finally gotten to a place where you can like yourself again, and focusing on sin doesn't feel comfortable to you. That's what you need, is one more person judging you, especially that guy standing up front. What does he know? How is he any better? But I think it's important, even for those of you who might be feeling that way, to take a moment to think about sin in our lives and in our world. Still, others might be thinking, well, yeah, just perfect. Makes sense for the preacher to be talking about sin. I hear this over and over again from so many other authority figures in my life. Yet another bad dog lecture. I'm used to it. I'll hear it again, internalize it. And to those of you who may be feeling that, I want you to know that though I want and need to talk about sin today, just as Liz did so in her children's sermon, there will be a word of grace in this too, because one can't exist without the other in our context. Others of you might even be sitting there thinking it's about time that he got around to talking about sin and letting people know what it is that they do in their lives and in this world that's wrong. It's about time we stopped talking about all this grace and peace and letting people off the hook. It's time that we brought back that Jonathan Edwards sinners in the hands of an angry God, fire and brimstone type of message, because people need to hear that. And the problem with those of you who might be thinking that right now is that my experience is if you are thinking that, you probably are thinking that it's other people that need to hear that message. It's not you. You maybe feel like you're standing right here with me pointing the finger at other people because your neighbor, the person sitting in the pew next to you or on the other side of the sanctuary, or maybe even somebody who's not here to hear this but might somehow get the word. Well, that's the person that needs to hear the message about sin because they're the real sinners. I'm not a real sinner. I'm at least here on a Sunday morning, right? Regardless of whether or not you think you should be hearing this message, or regardless of how it's hitting your heart right now, my hope is that there is a word of conviction and a word of grace to you today. Because this is a season beyond and above other seasons where it is important for us to recognize our own brokenness. The Apostle Paul wrote it perfectly. You know, everybody's doing it because all have fallen short of the glory of God, because all have sinned. It's not just me standing here pointing a finger at you. I'm a part of this too. Each and every one of us is a sinner. There is not a day that goes by in your life where you have not or will not sin. That is true and has been true for every person that has walked this earth, save one, and he's the one that saves. We know that from the story that we have this morning from Genesis. From almost the very beginning, sin has been a part of this. It was not in the design, but it has been a part of the human experience. And if we don't fess up to it, if we don't look into the mirror and we don't recognize our own sinfulness, if we don't admit it and confess it, as we do every time we come together here on a Sunday morning, individually and corporately, then we're missing a big portion of what it means to be people of faith. You know, it occurs to me that there is no Easter Sunday morning without Good Friday. And we've said that over and over again throughout Holy Week and Easter. But it also occurs to me that there's no Good Friday without sin. If there was no sin in the world, there would be no need for Jesus Christ. There'd be no need for the cross or for the resurrection. But the fact of the matter is that there is. And there's no Easter morning if there's no Good Friday, and there's no Good Friday if there's no sin. All of us have sinned, and we have sinned as individuals, and we have sinned as a body. We have sinned as a church, and as a community, and as a nation, and as a human race. And we continue to sin over and over and over again. And that is indeed the bad news. It is a cycle that we cannot break. But this is not a church of bad news. We do not bring a gospel of bad news. Indeed, our gospel is of good news. And so to those of us who are sinners, which is each and every one of us, there also comes a word of grace. And that grace is Easter morning. That grace is the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who overcame death, and in overcoming death overcame sin. And so sin, though we are sinners, does not define us. Though we are sinners and God is aware of that, God does not treat us as sinners, for God treats us as Christ. We have been adopted as brothers and sisters and children of God through Jesus Christ. And it is through that grace that God sees us and treats us. It is through that grace that God loves us. But the fact of the matter is, we cannot quite understand or fully embrace that grace if we don't first fully embrace our need for it. There is no grace or mercy needed if we can't first open our eyes to the fact that we need it. And the only reason we need it is because we are sinful people. And as Paul writes later in his letter to the Romans, the wages of sin is death. Not just physical death, for that is what all of us will suffer, but in that context, meaning eternal separation from God. So everybody's doing it. We're all sinners, and as sinners, what we deserve is eternal life separated from God. That's the bad news. And it's important for us to name that and to accept it and to humbly confess it, even as we look forward to the good news of Easter morning, which is the grace that says, though that may be true, though that is indeed what you deserve, it is not what you will receive, because Jesus Christ has overcome that for you. My hope and prayer for you and for all our brothers and sisters of faith is that we will take this time of Lent intentionally and seriously, and that we will do the hard work of recognizing and confessing our own sins. It may be uncomfortable, indeed it will be. But the fact of the matter is, we can't fully understand or embrace the grace and joy of Easter Sunday morning if we don't first fully embrace our own sinfulness and need for Jesus Christ. There's no need or full understanding of the light of Easter if we don't step first into the darkness of Lent. If we don't first open our eyes to our very deep need, not just as individuals, but as a body, for the grace of Jesus Christ. And so there is good news, but we must step into and through the bad news first. And that bad news is that we are all sinners, every single one of us, no exception. No one knows your sin better than you do, save God. And it is up to you to face that sin, to admit that sin, to confess that sin, so that you can prepare your heart and your soul to fully embrace and accept the good news of the grace of Jesus Christ that comes to us on Easter Sunday morning. We have the next 6 weeks to really step into that. And my hope and prayer for you and my encouragement to you is to do that and to take it seriously. For I truly believe that if you do so, this will be an Easter that you will never forget, because it will be perhaps for you the first time that Easter is exactly as it should be, as filled with joy and celebration as it could be. That is my prayer this day for the next 6 weeks and even beyond. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.